Go to verse 1 of Luke chapter 8. I know I've come close to this a few years back, and it was the message at the tomb, I think, or back in the room. At the tomb or back in the room. And it's similar to that, but it's not the same. Because I want to narrow the focus. And we're studying the life of Christ, but I'll focus on Christ at this time when we get there. But let's face it, the resurrection occurred for him or for us? It occurred for us. Think about that. Because without a resurrection, we don't have a Savior. We don't have a resurrection. We don't have an eternity. And I'm not 100% sure if I'm on the right line with that, but it just feels that way. And what I want to look at and concentrate a little closer on today is not so much the resurrection itself, because we all know what that gives us. We all know what that gives us. Without a resurrected Savior, Jesus isn't God, is he? And he raised himself. If you think about that one for too long, that'll cook your noodle too. But what I want to look at is I want to look at the last one at the cross and the first one at the tomb. It's a riddle. The last one at the cross and the first one at the tomb. Who is it? It's Mary Magdalene. It's Mary Magdalene. I just want to look at her. I want to look at their relationship and hopefully apply it to us. But you're going to have to pray for me this morning because it's just distracted, you know? So let's pray as we get started. Lord, again, we're thankful for this day that you've given us. Again, I'm thankful that so many folks braved the roads and the weather and came to worship you. And I want to do that too. And I believe that the only way we can do that is to really look at this in light of our relationship with him. Compare ourselves to Mary. Look at what was there. And thank God for what he gave us. God, I pray that you will work. I pray even now that it's on my mind, I pray that you will watch over my family, my son-in-law, my daughter. I pray that even though we got news this morning that just rocked our world, Lord, you're in charge. You're still on the throne. And God, I'm thankful for that. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Keep your finger there where you are in Luke, okay? But I got to read this passage. This is one of my most favorite passages in all the Bible. It's found in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I want to see this. Yeah, you're turning. If you want to turn, turn. Let's do it. I want to see heaven opened. Why? Because when I see heaven opened, I'm going to be rid of this flesh of mine. My relationship with all of you will be exactly what it's supposed to be, in spite of all of our differences, our personalities, our upbringings, who we are. And I look forward to that day, probably more than I ever have in all of my life. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The good guy always rides a white horse. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was not the Lone Ranger. Because the Lone Ranger don't cut it, does he? Because he's just a man. I'm just a man. I'm just a man. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Truth. My heart breaks for Pilate. If you read the history of Pilate, he had a rough position. I'm actually going to give him some credit where credit is due, because he was trying to keep the peace in Palestine. Aren't we having the same problem 2,000 years later today? And Pilate's head basically is on the chopping block to do that. He has got to make the Jews happy, and he's got to make Rome happy. And as a politician, we know that if you want to know when a politician is lying, it's every time he opens his mouth. I don't apologize for saying that. And I say that on both sides, red and blue. I'm tired of politics. I've had politics up to here. Tired of it. I just want it to go away. I want this. Truth. What is truth? It is what it is. And in righteousness, he doth what? Unconditionally love. No. No. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And so help me, I'm volunteering, even though I know I'm not going to get to do this. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That's coming. Let's go back to what he did now. Wyatt, you can stick that map up. Did you get that map I sent you? Stick that map up there for me. I want you to see it. It's one thing to talk about things. It's another thing to see it. That's what's so messed up about texting.
Jesus' ministry just encompassed this whole area. He would go to Jerusalem, but he couldn't stay in Jerusalem. Why? That's right, Pastor. They're going to kill him. So he had to stay up here. He had to stay north of Tiberias, really. Tiberias is who? Whose city is that? Herod. Okay? So he has to stay north of Tiberias, and the bulk of his ministry is here. And there's not much of these cities left today. You've seen the pictures I've shown you of Capernaum there. There's nothing left there but some excavating ruins. And to be frank with you, the Catholic Church has bought this up from about here all the way to here. They own all of this, just about. They've got shrines and stuff all up this coast. Here's the city I want you to see. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. It's a fishing town, which was the most profitable business in all of Galilee. Because I guess the Romans liked fish. So this town had a population of 40,000 people. Now you can put the other picture up there. That's Magdala today. Not much left, isn't there? And the only thing really that's there, I believe all of that, actually that complex is owned by the Catholic Church, if I'm not mistaken. But that's Magdala today. And that's the home of Mary Magdalene. There are six Marys mentioned in the Gospels. Mary was the most popular name in Palestine at that time. You know, we see that, don't we? We read the Bible, we see Mary, 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 Mary. How do you sort out all the Marys? Maybe I'll preach one day on all the Marys. Talk about every one of them. Because they were all very special. I'll show you that in just a second. For thousands of years, women were property, y'all. You know that? Do you know that? Yes, there are loves in the Old Testament. Yes, there was romance in the Old Testament, but it was the exception, not the rule. Okay? And here we have all of these Marys listed, these six Marys that were listed at that time, and I'm not going to go through the whole list of all of them. A woman was normally identified by her husband or her children or where she was from. Magdalene, okay? So on the western side of Galilee, you saw that on the Sea of Galilee. It had that population of 40,000. And right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say that the woman that is mentioned in Luke chapter 7 and the woman that is mentioned in Luke chapter 8, I don't care what that stinking pope in 600 AD said Mary Magdalene was. He was a rotten, heretical liar. Because you know what she got branded as by that pope? Tell me. A harlot. Nobody ever thought that before he shot his mouth off. I read about that the other day, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's a good thing I can't get my paws on him. Because the organized church for the last how many hundreds of years has taught that garbage? Were there harlots that were saved and delivered? You bet. I actually think the woman in Luke chapter 7 might have been one of them.
Because what did the Pharisees say about her? Does he know who she is? Remember that? Does he know who's touching him? Does he know who that woman is? Yet Jesus, as God, could wash her sins away, and she could wash his feet with her tears. I can't understand that, but that woman is not Mary Magdalene, okay? So let's look at Mary Magdalene. Because it's different from being a sinner and being what Mary was delivered from. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. Remember something too. Right on the heels of Jesus saying this in chapter 7, let's read it. Let's look at it. Chapter 7, verse 47. This isn't Mary Magdalene, but this applies to Mary Magdalene. Okay? It's context. It's right there. There's no chapter and verse divisions in the book of Matthew as it was originally written. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, I am going to go out on a limb toward the end of this message with this. It's raining. I know it's Easter Sunday. And I'll be frank with you, I don't care about that clock today. So just put it out of your mind right now. We're going till we're done on this one. Because this day only comes how many times a year? And I'll be honest with you, Easter eggs and dinner don't matter. And we're going to do it at my house. My daughter's coming. But right now, I can't think of anything else but the fact that I am smack dab in the middle of Galilee right here. And that's where I want to be right now. Right now, Galilee is my happy place. And that's where I want to be. Listen to that statement. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward. The story, time transpires. The story changes. The account changes. Jesus is moving on from that meal that he had in that home where that woman washed his feet with her tears. That sounds shocking in this culture, doesn't it? And Jesus had no problem with that. As a matter of fact, he scolded the Pharisees for looking down on it. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He went there. I seriously doubt that I'll ever be able to do this in my life. Because I don't care if I ever get on another airplane again, as many times as I almost died in the Arctic flying. Because there were a couple days I come close to dying in a plane crash. But I would love I'd give my right arm to walk up through those streets. And just travel around that bay up to Capernaum, stop in that synagogue, and stand on that floor where Jesus stood and healed the hand of the withered man. Wouldn't you? And we've gotten so connected to this world now that thinking like that is just foreign. It's even foreign to me. Preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. I'm not slighting the apostles in this message, but I am going to throw them under the bus at the end. But guess who ain't going to get thrown under the bus? Mary of Magdala. Mary Magdalene. Because Mary was last at the cross and first at the tomb. Does that make her special? You better believe it does. Verse 2. And certain women, plural, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene. God doesn't just lump her in with the other women here, does he? He calls her by name. He tells you specific, it ain't just a Mary. It ain't just a Mary. Mary of Magdalene, God specifically points her out. And he points out some other of these women as well as we come down through here. He said, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. She's not a harlot. She was a woman who was in the prison of seven demons. But that's not, even though it says seven, do you realize that seven means completion? How many demons did she have? We don't know the number. We don't know the torture that her soul endured. Because my thinking on, I've never been possessed. Young people, there is one thing that can possess you in this world today, and I'm telling you right now, because it is some of the baggage in my life, it still gives me problem. That is music. The devil's music can literally possess you. It can possess you. And I'm thankful that I've been delivered from that, but I'm telling you right now, there were times in my life where I could not function without that music. It's just like a functioning alcoholic. They have to drink to live. That was my alcohol for a period of time in my life. And it truly did possess me. Not only did it possess me, it chained me. It held me to it. It imprisoned me in that box. And only Jesus delivered that. This woman was completely and totally the prisoner of all of evil, because that's what seven means. Her life was in control of the evil one every second of every day. Her life was not her own. Her life was in the hands of what had taken her captive. I am sure that at a point in time in her life, she's the one that opened the door, because that's how it works. That's how control works. She opened the door not realizing, I don't think, the totality of what she was doing. And when she opened the door, in they went, and they took her. Body, soul, and spirit. They took her. But what is my favorite conjunction? But. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And that day, the day those devils were cast out by Christ, she never went back. I have no patience with backsliding. You cannot go back. You cannot. Not when you're truly delivered. That day, a host that had held her, she was freed from. And that day in her, because look at all the people that Jesus healed. Think about this. How many demons had been passed out of how many people? That entire coast, that coast wraps around like this. You can see the hills in the background, and it goes miles around there. And there are thousands of people around there. And the Bible says that he healed every single person in every single city. There wasn't a single person. There were no demon-possessed people when he got done. But were they here where she is now? Where were they? Not everybody did what Mary did. A lot of people got healed and went on their what? How many of them were healed and only one came back? How many of them? That's a picture of this same thing. How many were delivered and walked right back to their old lives? But that doesn't mean they were saved. And you know what? Right here, when those seven devils were cast out of Mary Magdalene, she made a decision to do what? Trust Christ. Follow Christ. And never leave him. And that's exactly what she did. And she wasn't alone. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, who was she? I'll tell you who she was. He healed her son. He's the nobleman that came to Jesus at Cana and said, please come back and heal my son. History tells us that's his wife. She was not captured by the demons like Mary Magdalene, but at the same time, Christ performed a miracle for her. She could have walked away with her healed son and never given it another thought. Because after all, her husband's way up there in the government. Rich guy. Where is she? She's following Christ. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him their substance. Gentlemen, what is our source of pride? Think about this now in light of what I just said. What is our source of pride? What is it, brother? Us doing what? Providing that substance for our families. Right, guys? Especially here. Providing that substance for our families. That is a pride for a man. It is. There's no way around it.
What did Jesus do? I'm sure the Pharisees looked at him and said, the Messiah? He's got a bunch of women following him around, taking care of him. They cooked his meals. They washed his clothes. They did everything that he did not have a spare second to do for him. Why? Because of what he did for them. And that is these women. But in particular, that is Mary Magdalene. But the story doesn't end in chapter 8, verse 3, does it? Because what happens after that, and where she's seen again, is seen in a couple other places. One particularly is at the crucifixion. Now, I personally believe that all of these women were in that courtroom. The men weren't, except for who? John. That's why John could tell about all those court cases. He was there. None of the others did. He was there. And Mary Magdalene was there. She was there. Go to John chapter 19. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. That's a given, isn't it? It's a given. I'll do one on Mary one Easter. We'll do one on Mary. That one's another message in and of itself. Today it's Mary Magdalene. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took him unto her own. I just want you to note in that verse who's there. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 27. We're still at the cross. And the men aren't there. And I have to ask myself, where would I have been? Where would I have been? You know what? God forgive me. But I wouldn't have been there because I'm not John the Beloved. John the Beloved loved Jesus with a love that is akin to David and Jonathan. You know what I'm saying? Only I think John the Beloved's went beyond that to a level the other apostles did not have. Or where would they have been? Where would they have been? They would have been there, but they weren't. Where were the men? Boy, there's another message. Matthew 27:55, we're still in the crucifixion. many women were there beholding. Look what it says there. What does that say? It says many. Ladies, you got it over on us. I can tell you that right now. I don't know why culture was so flip-flop for so many thousands of years. I realize God put us as leaders over our families and over our homes because of our analytical, rational minds. But I'm telling you right now, here the chips are as far down as they could possibly go. And who's there? It's all those dear women who were delivered by Christ. And to whom much is forgiven, there is much love. Remember, the apostles were religious men. Huh? They were already there almost. These women, totally different ball game. And it's true. It's true because people are people. We haven't changed, have we? And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And who's that woman that's there, right now? Mary Magdalene. I know that because it says it specifically in Mark's account. And it also says it here. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto them, among which was Mary Magdalene. Specifically calls her out. It could have just said many women. Could have ended right there. Among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Mark chapter 15, and I'm going to read these quickly. Don't go there. We're going somewhere else quickly. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Where were the men? And in verse 39 of Luke's account, it says this: and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. I have seen things, and so have those two guys back there. And if Will was sitting here right now, Frank can tell you a little bit about it. I have seen things done to human beings that you all cannot imagine. Right, guys? If we didn't personally experience it, they made us watch videos about it, didn't they? I'll never get that out of my mind. But I didn't need the videos because I had my share of it. And it was real time with the smell and everything. And there's not a woman in here. That's why no female should have a police uniform on. Amen. Because there's no reason for a woman to ever see that. About these ladies. You know why they stood afar off? Do you know why they stood afar off? Why did they stand afar off? Because he was ripped to living shreds. There wasn't a square inch of his body that wasn't bleeding. Now we talk about the hands and the feet. There wasn't a square inch of his body that wasn't bleeding. I'm telling you, one of these days, I'm going to pull that clip out of that movie, and I'm going to show you the closest thing that you could possibly come to the crucifixion. And every single one of you will bawl your eyes out when you see it. I'm going to do it. I don't care who made it. I know it's wrong in some places. I'm cutting all them places out. But you're going to see what they did to him. The closest thing we could possibly do. Because as we sit here 2,000 years from that, you can't imagine it because you've never seen it. So it's just not the same. Is it? But I've seen it, so I know what they're seeing. And it's women. And he's naked. You hear me? He ain't wrapped with no loincloth. There's nothing strung across his body. They had already parted his garment at the foot of that cross with dice. And they had to back off. Why? Because of the shame. Do you know what Jesus went through? Do we know what Jesus went through for us? Can you imagine the shame of hanging naked in front of the women who ministered to you? That's sin, y'all. That's sin, young people. That's the reality. It's not a pretty picture, is it? And there they were. Those dear women. Go to Matthew chapter 28. And I mean it. I ain't quitting until I'm done. You gotta go. You gotta go. I'm sorry. God forgive me. Matthew chapter 28. And in the end of the Sabbath, today, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came, who is the first person named? I can tell you right now, Mary was the last one at the cross along with his mother, probably. She left the cross with his mother as they took the body away. And you'll see what she wants to know when she gets there. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. But wait now, Mary is swift of foot, and I will show you that in a minute. In Mark's gospel, it says, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And it says they, but that's Mark. Luke chapter 24 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Turn to John chapter 20. Can we do this? This is just one day a year. I feel like I should never stop. Just keep going. Just keep talking about this. Just keep bringing this to mind. Because how many days a year do I forget it? How many days a year is something else coming up that just... God, forgive me. John chapter 20. I'm not going to read this off my notes. I'm going to read this right out of the Bible. The first day of the week cometh. Who? Does it mention any of the other women? No. You know why? They're coming. Why is she there first? Why is she there first? You know why? Because the second she woke up, the first thing
that split her mind was him. Why? Because to whom much is forgiven, there is much love. Do you see the boys heading to the tomb at this point in time? God forgive me if I'm disrespecting them, but it is what it is, isn't it? They'll get their act together and they'll die for it. But how important is this? And I'm going to show you what she got that all of them missed, that nobody on the face of this earth got to see. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, because she's running. The other women are coming, but she's running. Unto the sepulcher, expecting what? A great big stone. And she sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Because that stone was sealed, wasn't it? Were there not Roman guards on it? Yep. Now, look what she does again. Verse 2. She's already run there. She sees the stone gone. And what does she do? I got to hand it to Mary. She was in good shape. It says verse 2. What it didn't say in verse 1 that she did. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth. Where had he gone? What was he doing? He was gathering up the captives, getting ready to take his blood to where? The mercy seat in heaven. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. Where's the rest of the guys? I expect Peter and John to head there, but I really expect them all. So they ran both together. Now I'll give them this. They ran. Okay? They ran both together, and the other disciple, John must have been in better shape than Peter, outran Peter. He even says that, outran Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher. That's Peter. That's me. Head first. Head first. It's not exactly the best thing to do. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeing the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and he saw it and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. How many times had he told them that? Then the disciple... What is the deal with verse 10? What is the deal with verse 10? Why did they leave? Why did they leave? Then the disciples went away again to their own home. You know what? Do you think they went back there happy? I don't know what they thought. I think they might have thought that the Romans had taken him. But what had he told them? And who stayed there? Look at the next verse. Who stayed there? That's right where they should have been. Bawling their eyes out. With her. But no, they're men. They weren't forgiven like Mary. They were forgiven, but they weren't forgiven like Mary. And they were disappointed. Because after all, we are not going to get the kingdom right now, are we? So they walk away. What a woman. What a woman. We tout Moses and Abraham, and I'm not a feminist now. You know that. But I'm telling you, when it was really bad, when it was really down, when it was at the bottom of the pit, the guys left and one woman stayed there. But Mary stood without the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, you know, this is what I believe about this. Because I've looked at this passage over and over again over the years, every time I come to Easter, and I know what Jesus did during those 3 days. I know what Jesus did during those 3 days, and I know what he was getting ready to do at the end of those 3 days. And he made a pit stop. Think about this. He is taking all of the saints that have been in paradise to heaven, along with his blood, which will allow them to enter. Why they've been in paradise and not there to begin with. Because sin cannot enter heaven without the blood. But on the way, he stops. For one woman. And I'll be honest with you, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that one. You know what I think? I think he was on the way and he heard the weeping of a saint. And if he heard her weeping, don't you think he can hear yours? Or have we forgotten that? Or do we just think he's just too far away? He's up there in that hole in the north, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's just too far away. He heard her weep, and he stopped his trip to the third heaven to do what? But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping as she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Because listen, after all, Mary had heard the same things that the apostles had heard. She ministered to Jesus. She heard everything he said. She heard all of his messages. I don't think they ever missed a message. Boy, what would that be like, huh? And he said, why are you weeping? You're just like the guys. You heard the same thing. She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, with a capital L. I don't know. That goes deep there. And I know not where they have laid him. She just wanted to see him again. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Why? Why didn't the two apostles on the Emmaus Road know it was Jesus? Because the Bible says he was so marred that he didn't even look like a human being anymore. I don't believe Jesus is going to lose his scars.
Do you?
Do you believe he'll be scarless in heaven? I think there'll be more than the nail prints in the feet.
Of course.
Why shouldn't there be? They were all for us. It's not just the nail prints, and it's not just going to be the nail prints and the thorns in his head that we're going to see. I think what we see of him, what is exposed on his body, which won't be much, believe me, because he'll have the robes on. You'll see his feet. You'll see his hands. But I think you're also going to see a face that was ripped by the whip as well. This is a woman that spent the rest of her life during that time, every second with Jesus. And she didn't recognize him. And you're going to tell me that he's not going to carry all those scars? You better believe he is. Every last one of them. And she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I have wept quite a few times in my life. And many times Jesus says to me, "Why are you weeping?" You know why? Because he hears. He hears our tears. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" He's talking to her, right? She's listening to him, right? She still doesn't recognize him. She's supposing him to be the gardener. Now, there might have been some distance between the two, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is the pit stop. Could he have stood right here and talked to her during this pit stop? And why? He can't. You know why? He had to talk to her over here. No risk. And he tells her that because he knows what her reaction is going to be, which I hope is my reaction when I see him. You know, I hope he lets me hold him. Even if it's just his feet.
Yes.
Don't you? I want to touch him. I want to touch him as well as look on him. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." This woman thinks she's going to pick up Jesus and carry him away because she's scared somebody else is going to get him. And Jesus saith unto her, he's been talking to her. This is the whole message right here. Okay? This is the whole message right here. Took me this long to get here. I laid the clock down. I don't care. He says, "Mary, He called her by name. But this was different. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. What voice was it that she heard that brought her memory back? It was the same voice that delivered her on the day that she was saved. That's why she recognized his voice. Mary? When he threw those seven demons out, I guarantee you he looked her in the eye and he said, Mary, and Mary was back. It's the same voice. She's back to that day. Remember the day you were saved? If you can't remember that voice, you ain't there. I can't remember that voice. I ain't there yet. And on the way to heaven, to put his blood on the mercy seat, he stops in the midst of the most unbelievable event in over those 3 days, the carrying of the saints to heaven, the planting of the blood on the mercy seat, the assurance of forgiveness of sins forever. And he stops for just 15 or 20 seconds to say, Mary, why? Because he heard her cry. And he will never leave us or forsake us, will he? Verse 18 says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things unto her. And she got to see, she got the privilege because she waited and she wept. Listen to that. She got the privilege because she waited and she wept to see Jesus on the way to the third heaven. Wow. Last at the cross, first at the tomb. Mary, stand with your heads bowed.